Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse. It reads, "But if the Spirit of Him," a Spirit is what? Capitalizing. My Bible is capitalized, right? And your Bible is capitalized. So is it talking? Who is it talking about? Holy Spirit, all right? "But if the Holy Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Holy Spirit that dwelleth in you." This is very important, especially in these days and times. Right here, the Apostle Paul is giving us the prescription of how we access power.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you have authority, but you need power.
Yes, sir.
Especially in these days and times, you need not only authority, but you need power.
Yes, sir.
In reading this 11th verse, we break this 11th verse down because I began to meditate this 11th verse. And breaking down this 11th verse, it says, it just didn't say that the Spirit of Him that dwelt in Jesus. It didn't say that.
No.
It says, "But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead."
Yeah.
What is the Apostle Paul trying to tell us? Because that same Spirit dwells in us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But in Jesus, it just didn't dwell, it did something.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See, you can have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But if you don't know how to activate the Holy Spirit, then He's just going to be dwelling in you, and that's going to be your claim to fame.
Yes.
I just don't want to be saying that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I want the Holy Spirit to do the work that He was assigned to do in me.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
We see the Apostle Paul said something here that gives us a clue as to how the Holy Spirit is activated in us. He said, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that did what? Raised Jesus from the dead. I have a question for you. What did Jesus come to earth to do? To be raised from the dead. That's what He came here to do. He came to take our sins, to take our sicknesses and diseases, to take every ill thing from us, bore it on a cross, go down a cross, be buried, show up in hell to get the keys. And the Bible says the same Spirit that went got Him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
When God Him raised Him from the dead, dwells in us.
Yes, sir.
So I don't want it just to be the stop. I don't want that to just our claim to fame be that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We got to realize and learn how to activate the Holy Spirit in us so that the mission that Jesus accomplished,
yes, sir,
was accomplished so that our mission, what God had called us to do, can be accomplished. See, the Holy Spirit don't move and don't do anything until it's aligned with what God wants.
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of people have the Holy Spirit in them, but they're trying to do their own thing. And so when things don't work out for you, you want to question what's going on, what's happening. But Jesus, very plainly, the same spirit that helped Jesus accomplish what God called him to do. Are you seeing this? See, you don't want the Holy Spirit just dwelling. If you need a title for the night, some people need titles. A lot of times I don't give a title, but if you need a title for the night, if you just need a title, some people like titles. I don't, you know. Accessing the kingdom of God is mandatory. Accessing God's ways of doing things is mandatory. Because without accessing God's ways of doing things, then you might have the authority, but you won't have the power. Go with me to Genesis. Because we got to see, if it's mandatory for me to access the kingdom of God, right? Yes, it's mandatory that I access God's ways of doing things. Yes, sir. Especially for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God has a plan for us. God has certain things for us to accomplish as individuals. His kingdom, we got to find out where his kingdom resides at, though. Jesus basically told us where the kingdom was, but Jesus was making reference to something that was already established. When the Pharisee came to him and said, you know, where the kingdom of God, when the kingdom of God is, where is that? Where are we going to see it? He says, not with observation. Yeah. You're not going to say it's here. No, you're not going to say it's there. Yeah. But the kingdom of God is within me.
Yes, sir.
Right? So God's ways of doing things is already within you. I'm about, let me rock your boat. Let me shock your theology.
Yes, sir.
The kingdom of God was within you even when you was a sinner.
That's right. That's right.
When you were doing your own thing, God's ways of doing things was already on the inside of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Genesis. Genesis, the third chapter. Watch this. I don't have time to read all of it, but Genesis 1 and 2, most of you are familiar with it. For those who, because a lot of times I got to take consideration that new people are watching all the time who may not be as familiar with the Bible. We have new people getting born again. But the first and second chapter of Genesis give us how God created the earth, how God gave man dominion over the earth, right? In the second chapter, you begin to see how God, when God gave man dominion over earth, you begin to see Adam begin to name all the animals, all right? You begin to see how God began to lay things out for man. Right? So we get to the third chapter, and another way of doing things has entered the picture.
Yes, sir.
Now, what you must understand, there are three ways of doing things. Three ways. That's it. Three ways. There is the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of Satan. And there's the kingdom of you. Because, see, sometimes we like to blame Satan for stuff that we done decided to do. That's your kingdom. That's your ways of doing things. Satan had nothing to do with it. So there are three kingdoms that we always have to be aware of. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of you. Once you are aware that only three kingdoms exist, things become much simpler. Because every idea that comes to me, every situation I'm in, I can question and say, is this the kingdom of God? Is this the kingdom of Satan or is this the kingdom of me? Once you have eliminated, once you have brought it down to those three kingdoms, yes, now you can always allow the Holy Spirit to direct you to an answer.
Yes, sir.
All right, watch this. Genesis, the third chapter. This is the third chapter, and at the very end of the chapter, verse 22. Now, this is after man has eaten off the tree, man hiding from God. Really, the first and second chapter is God laying out his kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. He laying out how things go, how he wants things to be done.
Okay.
In the third chapter is when you said the other two kingdoms show up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The third chapter is when you see the kingdom of Satan show up or his ways of doing things, and you see the kingdom of man. Man deciding what he gonna do.
Yes, sir.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
So in this third, in the third chapter, in the latter part of the third chapter, in the 22nd verse, you see God make some decisions. Because remember now, I'm talking about the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. All right? He said in the 22nd verse, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, wait a minute. Now, I thought we was made in the image of God. See, we were made in the image of God, but we wasn't fully there yet because God hadn't poured everything in us. And Adam and Eve didn't allow God to finish. So God was really saying that Adam and Eve would be trying to become one of us without us input.
Yes, sir.
That's good. So therefore, it was Adam and Eve trying to take the authority and the power of the kingdom of God and use it in the kingdom of them.
Yeah. That's good.
But the spirit that dwells in Jesus, it raised him from the dead because he decided to follow the kingdom of God or to do things God's way. And Jesus had challenges doing things God's way, whether you like to believe it or not. He had challenges. Jesus went into the garden and said, God, listen, if you get the garden of Gethsemane, if you could do this another way, what kingdom was trying to rise up? I'm not being sacrilegious. Jesus came to the earth as a human to be tempted as a human to show us how we can overcome everything in the earth realm that's trying to stop us from being in the kingdom of God. Here's what I want you to understand, how important, the reason why I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. It's important because it was the Holy Spirit that helped Jesus during those difficult moments. He was in the garden praying, talking to God. And the Holy Spirit, who's the very Spirit of God, empowered him to say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. See, you have to get into that position to where when you're in a tough spot, that you don't take the easy way out.
Yes, sir.
The path of least resistance.
Yes, sir.
You have to be there to allow the Holy Spirit to fortify you so that you can fulfill the kingdom. See, there are some ways and some paths that God needs you to travel that's going to take you through the shadow of death.
Yes, sir.
I'll go to Revelation 12th chapter. Revelation the 12th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Revelation the 12th chapter. And we'll come back to Genesis. Revelation the 12th chapter. Yeah, that's it. Revelation, the 12th chapter. We'll start at verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now has come salvation and strength," that's power, "and the kingdom of our God," yes, his ways of doing things, right? "And the power of his Christ." "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That's talking about Satan. All right, look at verse 11. "And they overcame him," meaning the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb," Jesus Christ and him crucified, "and by the word of their testimony." Watch this. This the part of the verse that everybody gets nervous about. "And they loved not their lives unto death." Was that talking about them dying? No. What it was saying was they were willing to go as far as God needed them to go to accomplish his will. Yes, sir. Other words, they weren't worried about their lives. Yes, sir. They were only concerned about God's will being fulfilled in their lives, even if it meant going to death.
Glory to God. That's good. Thank you.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So there are some pathways and some journeys that we as believers are going to have to take that's going to take us into some tough positions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Romans day chapter.
Yes, sir.
Romans day chapter. And then we're going to get back to Genesis. Romans day chapter. Watch this. Praise God. Romans, the 8th chapter, and let me find it. Verse 36. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long." Now, notice what it say, what the Apostle Paul says. "We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Does that mean you'll get slaughtered? It says we are counted as. That means that in the eyes or the view of other people, sometimes it's going to look like you, it's going to look like you defeated. Because I'm sure Satan, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, I'm sure he thought he had won. Until Jesus gave up the ghost and that ghost showed up in hell. There are some paths. And see, go back up to verse 35. "And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Other words, the Apostle Paul said, in these last days, people are going to try you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Satan is going to test your conviction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why you need the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to fortify you, to help you with your infirmities. Are you seeing this? Back to Genesis. Why do you think the Apostle Paul put Romans 8:28 in the Bible? Why do you think the Holy Spirit inspired him to write that? He said, all things. That means everything, all things, the good and the bad, work together. It didn't say for my bad. But once again, it's for those that love God. Those that are in his kingdom,
yes.
Those that are trying to do things his way.
Yes.
All right, the kingdom of God is within you. All right. Look at back in Genesis.
Yes.
Look in the 22nd verse. It said, "And God, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and to know, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." In that condition.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
See, God couldn't allow man to live in the condition where he had access to the authority and the power of the kingdom of heaven, unit for the kingdom of him.
Yes, sir. Wow. Hallelujah.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I receive. So look at verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, put him out, to till the ground from which he was taken. 24 is very important because 24 lets us know a whole lot. It lets us know where the kingdom of God is. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims or angels and a what? Flaming sword, which turned every way. Which means you cannot bypass this. You cannot bypass this. To keep the way of the tree of life. Are you seeing this? So here it is. God say, man can't, I can't let man have access, can't let man have access to my authority and my power doing what he want to do.
Right.
So I'm going to have to put him out.
Yes, sir.
All right, put him out.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to have to protect these ways of doing things.
Yes, sir.
Because now you got to remember, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You got, see, stop thinking of Eden as a place that's been lost. Think of Eden as a place that was training. It was a place of training.
Okay.
It just Eden just happened to be the spot that God chose to train man how to be like him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, it was the physical manifestation of what God was doing on the inside of man.
Okay. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
That's what Eden was. It was a physical manifestation of what God was trying to do on the inside of man. So until he was able to train man on how to behave like him, how to think like him, how to act like him, how to do things like him, man had access to this tree of life. So man allowed the kingdom of Satan to influence his kingdom of himself to block out the kingdom of God. So God couldn't allow him the access to this tree of life that will allow him to live forever in the condition that he was in.
Right.
Remember what I'm telling you? Remember what I'm telling you now? Eden was a physical manifestation of what God was doing on the inside of man.
Yeah.
So when God put man out of the garden, God didn't take his ways of doing things out of man. He stopped man from having access to the authority and the power.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So what do you think Jesus came to do? Christ has
redeemed.
Galatians 3:13. Christ has
redeemed
us from the curse of the law.
Yeah.
Being made a curse for us, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yeah.
So Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection put us back in the position to where we can access the kingdom of God that has always been on the inside of us.
Yes, sir.
So here's the question. We read in the 24th verse that he blocked his ways of doing things with an angel and a flaming sword.
Yeah.
Now, if you go study what a cherubim is, a cherubim, you see that it was an angel. The children of Israel, when they made the Ark of the Covenant, they designed the cherubim according to their imagination. And the cherubim, get this, the cherubim was just always sitting next to the throne of God. All right. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was a container that carried the Spirit of God or the presence of God. And it had cherubims all around it.
All
All right. So it was just a representation, a physical representation of the presence of God. But here, God chose cherubims to block the entrance and a flaming sword. What do we know a sword as? That's it. The word of God, right? Who represents the flame? Because the Holy Spirit is represented as fire. So the kingdom of God that's on the inside of me is protected by the throne of God, the cherubims, because the cherubims stand by the throne of God, and a word breathed on by the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said, I will send you a comforter. Go to John, the 14th chapter.
Thank you.
John, the 14th chapter. See, it's mandatory that you access the kingdom of God. So now we see that the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. So now, hey, watch this. If the kingdom of God is on the inside of you, then why are we looking for answers? Every problem that you run into, the first place you need to go is to the inside. Let me share this with you. Nowhere in the Bible can you find the kingdom of God ever going to the kingdom of man. Nowhere in the Bible. And the only time you see the kingdom of God is dealing with the kingdom of man is when the kingdom of God is trying to uplift the kingdom of man. You'll never see anywhere in the Bible where the kingdom of God went to man for anything. Every time the kingdom of God approached, when I mean the kingdom of God, I'm talking about God's ways of doing things. Every time God wanted to get something done, he would go to man to get man involved. Not because he needed man. Do you know that Malachi, the book of Malachi, the time span between the book of Malachi and Matthew was 400 years? God stopped talking for 400 years. Why he stopped talking for 400 years? Because God got eternity. If you ain't gonna do it my way, then we just ain't gonna do nothing. I'ma wait till you wanna get on my plan. So God got eternity. He has eternity, so we have to decide that we're going to get on his plan. So the kingdom of God is on the inside of us. It's mandatory we access the kingdom of God. Because if you're not able to access the kingdom of God, then the tribulation, the ridicule, the persecution is going to overtake you.
Yes, sir.
I know I told you. Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now watch this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints could do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified or be built. Right? 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see this? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Yes, sir. See, the Holy Spirit is there to help you with all of that. What I mean by all of that? The Holy Spirit is there to help you to recognize direction.
Okay.
Amen. See, the fivefold gives direction.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
right?
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit is there to give you instructions. See, God's ways of doing things are instructions.
Uh-huh.
How can you access God's ways of doing things, watch this, if you have no direction? See, you can start off doing some things and start off trying to accomplish some things. You may have the right directions or the right instructions, but what if you don't have the right direction? Suppose they tell you to dig a hole going a certain way, but yet you start digging it going another way. You ain't gonna never get to where you're supposed to be getting when you're digging a hole. You can take off and go to any city you want to. Right?
Yeah.
You can get a general You can get a general direction.
Yes, sir.
But if you don't start making intricate turns.
Right.
See, it's not up to apostle to give you intricate turns. Do you know how it would drive apostle crazy if he had to get intricate turns for each and every last one of us?
Yes.
We already seen this.
Yeah.
We've seen this in Exodus. They were going to kill Moses. So we have to put ourselves in a position that we can access God's ways of doing things. See, watch this. Let me tell you this. Satan does not mind you coming to church. He don't mind you coming to church at all. Jesus talked about that. He talked about it in the parable. He didn't say it like I said it, but he went to the parable of the sower.
Yeah. Yeah.
When the word was sown on different type. So Satan don't mind you coming to church. Let me say this. Prayer without meditation is a waste of God's time. Prayer without meditation is a waste of God's time. Now, if you know it wastes God's time, then you know your time has been wasted too. Prayer without meditation. Every time you pray and you don't meditate, you're just going through the process. Listen to that, internet. When you pray, you must take time to meditate. What does meditation do? What does it do? What does meditation do? What? Meditation gives the Holy Spirit a chance to reveal the kingdom of God that is in you.
Thank you.
Without taking time to meditate. Meditate, watch this. I'm gonna show you two examples. Go to Joshua 1 and 8. See, it's mandatory you access the kingdom of God. You can't access the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because we found out in Genesis 3 that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, his ways of doing things is protected by his throne that is on the inside of you.
Okay.
Remember Jesus saying, me and my father will come make our abode.
Yes.
I think it's John 14. I think it's John 14. He said, we'll come and live with you. That's the throne. Jesus died on the cross so that the throne of God is placed on the inside of you because God can sit on the inside of you. That means all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do is on the inside of you. Why do I need to worry? Why do I need to fret? The Apostle Paul said it like this. Some people take this in the 1 Corinthians 15. He was talking about death, but Apostle Paul said, oh, death, where is your sting? Have you ever thought to yourself to replace the word death with some other thing? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, disobedient child, where is your sting? Sickness and disease, where is your sting? Because I have the throne, greater is he that is on the inside of me than he that's in the world. So We have to access this kingdom on the inside of us. We can't access it without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is protecting. In other words, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Or let me say it like this. The Spirit that assisted Jesus in accomplishing what God had called him to do.
All right.
Dwells in who?
Me.
Me. Right. And what it's supposed to quicken.
Yes, sir.
Make alive. That just simply mean empower.
Yes, sir.
When you're in a tough situation,
yes.
When you're in a situation that seems like you can't overcome,
yes, sir.
Like it ain't gonna change,
yes.
Like ain't nothing gonna, like it's just, that's the way it's gonna be. No, this ain't the way it's gonna be.
Yes,
because I am in the kingdom of God.
Yes,
when I'm in the kingdom of God, I have access to authority and to dunamis.
Yes.
That will make things happen.
Yes.
That will change things that everybody else say can't be changed.
Yes.
Because I'm in the kingdom.
Yes.
Because I'm accessing the kingdom.
Yes.
Because I'm helping to bring the kingdom to pass.
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
Watch this. Go with me to Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter. Watch this. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Romans, the 14th chapter. Now watch this. The Apostle Paul prioritizes the purpose of the kingdom of God in this 14th chapter, specifically the 17th verse.
Yes, sir.
It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and what?
Joy.
So let me read it like this. For the kingdom of God is not all about you being entertained in the earth realm. That's not the original purpose. That's not his first purpose. The first purpose of the kingdom of God is to put you in right standing with God. That's righteousness. Right? To put you in right standing with God. Now here's the thing about righteousness. It's defined as being in right position with God. I'm aligned with God. Now the question after that should be is, why am I aligned with God? For what purpose am I aligned with God? Just for the sake of being aligned with God? Or is it to reveal the Father?
That's
right. See, the reason why the Spirit was able to raise Jesus from the dead is because Jesus had decided, I'm going to be aligned with the Father.
Yes, sir.
When he decided to be aligned with the Father, Jesus had access to all power.
Right.
When you decide to be aligned to the Father, you have access to all power. So it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what this world is trying to do to you. When you are aligned with God, you have access to all power to change everything. Watch what it says. It says, for the kingdom of God is not to entertain. Its first purpose is not to be entertain us as humans on the earth. Watch this. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, for us to be in right standing with God. Peace. Everything in this place. Everything not in this place, gonna get back in this place. Because I'm in right standing with God. And I'm here to reveal the Father. So anything that's trying to disrupt me from revealing the Father, God is going to move it back in place so I can reveal the Father. See, what you must understand is in the corporate world, they got what's called headhunters. Anybody know what a headhunter is in the corporate world? Let me explain to you what a headhunter is. It's somebody who goes out and looks for the best candidate to fill the job of a CEO or a high-ranking official in a company. So when that headhunter goes looking for the qualified person, right? When they find a qualified person, the headhunter has authorized to give them everything they need so that they can be totally focused on the growth of that company. So where they want to stay, what they want to eat, how they want to dress, how much money they want to make. The headhunter is going to look for the CEO or the CFO, chief financial officer, or chief technical, whatever one you want to choose. They're looking for them because when they bring them to this company, they want them to be totally focused on the growth of this company. Right. Remember what we read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse? Right. It says that the fivefold comes to number one, mature the saints, so that the saints can do the what? To do the work of the ministry so the company can grow. So therefore, the kingdom of God that's on the inside of you, its first purpose is to reveal the Father. But its second purpose, which is not far behind, is to make sure that there's nothing in your life that prohibits you from helping to grow the company. The Holy Spirit will lead you to every answer, every solution, or to any dilemma that you have in your life. But you first got to realize that the first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help you to reveal the Father.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To pull this kingdom that is on the inside of you. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. Ephesians 1 and 17. I pray this prayer every day. Watch this now, because it's somebody going to say something significant here. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, this is why prayer without meditation is fruitless. The reason we go to God is for God to talk. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It's for God to talk to us and reveal to us something we didn't know. Like I think it's John, the 70th chapter, where Peter had discovered who Jesus really was. Right? Good example. Peter knew who Jesus was, but because he wouldn't recognize the direction, he had instructions. He discovered who Jesus was. Well, because he didn't acknowledge the direction, a few scriptures later, he was trying to stop the direction from going where it was designed to go. So you can have revelation knowledge, but if you don't have direction, what is direction? Direction is vision. Do you know the Bible says my people destroyed knowledge because Hosea 4 and 6, right? My people destroyed for lack of knowledge because the priests rejected. Well, there's no vision. Vision is singular. See, we need to start seeing the word of God from an apostolic point of view. See, we've been looking at it from a pastoral point of view. When we read that scripture, where there's no vision of people's prayers, we all think about our vision, our individual vision. But when you think about it apostolically and the kingdom of God's way of seeing things, you realize that word vision is singular.
Yes, sir.
He told Nehemiah, make it plain.
Yeah.
Write the what?
Visions
or vision?
Vision.
Write the vision.
Right.
And make it plain so that he that read it, do you know what reading really means? Meditate. It means to meditate. When you're able to meditate, see, go to Joshua. Talking about the kingdom now. Talking about the kingdom on the inside of you. Every last one of you, God is an orchestrator. God believes in synergy, synonymous energy put together. So when God connected you to an apostle, you had this vision already on the inside of you. Apostle is giving us direction. But we're going to have to go to the Holy Spirit to get instructions. See, it's not our apostle's job to give us instructions. It's his job to give us direction. It's your responsibility. It's up to you, and you can do this. It's up to you to get your own instructions. And guess what? The instructions are easy because you got direction. So if somebody try to give you instructions that don't align with the directions, you can already eliminate them. God is not the author of confusion. Joshua 1. Let me give you a couple examples on, and we're going to close. Give me a couple examples on direction and instructions so you understand what I mean, because some of y'all think it's the same thing. So I need you to understand this concept. Direction and instructions. Okay. See, you can have directions to where you're going. Uh-huh. Right? Yes, whatever city you're going to, you can have directions to put something together. Right? But if you don't start reading and digging into those directions, then you won't be able to follow instructions. See, I can write directions to my house and give them to you. But if you don't ever read them, what I mean by read them? You read the directions and then you look up looking for that street. That means you are meditating. You see the directions, but now, and you read the instructions. But now you're looking out and you're looking for where I need to make a left turn. See, in the spirit world, God will give us directions through our man or woman of God, but the Holy Spirit is going to give us instructions. Are you kidding this concept? Are you getting it? See, a lot of us come to church, watch this, looking for instructions. But you need to be looking for directions, and in your personal time you spend with God, God is going to give you instructions. I'm going to prove it to you. Wait, go to Joshua 1 and 8. Go to Joshua 1 and 8. Watch this. Joshua 1 and 8. All right, Joshua 1 and 8, right? We see this scripture. It said, watch what it says. It says, this book of the law, notice what it said, this, meaning specific. It didn't say the book. It said this book, right? So it's making reference to something. What is it making reference to? Okay, what is it making reference to? Look what he says. Verse 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inherited land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. That's direction. Yes. Yes. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then God told him again, this book of the night, I love this. I keep saying this over and over, but this is amazing to me every time I read this. This is God talking to Joshua face to face, telling him, do what Moses said do. He said, I'm gonna need you to meditate what Moses said. Now, God is the one who gave the law to Moses. But watch this. But God didn't tell Joshua the law. He told Joshua, go and do what Moses said do. What does that do? That brings accountability to the kingdom of God. That means God trusted Moses and gave Moses the law like he wanted to have. All right, give you an example. We played this game. We went out to eat for one of our birthdays. I can't remember who birthday it was. And so it was all of us, you know, my family, Apostle and Mom Thompson, my family, Darnell family, Shauna family, Montreal family. And we were sitting there and we played this game called Pass the Message. How many have played that game? So DJ would start a statement, say a phrase, and it was hilarious to find out what the phrase had turned into by the time it got around the table. We did it. It took us five times to do it before we completely got it right. The reason why God told Joshua to go and do what Moses said do is so that the directions won't get screwed up. Because each one of us have different personalities. Right? Right? Nothing wrong with having different personalities. Nothing good nor bad about it. It's just we hear differently. Let's be real. We hear differently. Sometimes we see things differently. That's okay and that's wonderful. But when it comes to the plan of God, we can't all be seeing things so differently. See, on a body of Christ level, we got to be seeing the same thing. When it comes to our lives, God, and that's why our personality comes in. When it comes to our individual lives, that's why you got to go get instructions. Because God gonna work with you how you know how to be worked with. So Joshua was told to go to do what Moses said do. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you know Joshua 1 and 8 led to Joshua 6? If he hadn't done Joshua 1 and 8, there'd have been no marching around the walls of Jericho. Moses gave him direction. God gave him instructions. Are you seeing this? How did he access the instructions? Because he meditated the direction. Are you seeing this? See, when you pray without meditating, you ain't going nowhere. Because you can't get no instructions. If you don't let God get word in edgewise, what are you on your knees for? You can't access the kingdom of God without him talking. He only he knows what he wants to do. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can escort you into the mind of God. He's the very Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. I have not seen it, neither have heard, neither has entered the heart of man to think that God had prevailed him. But, verse 10, it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. Last one. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Talking about direction and instruction. See, you have to take the initiative to say you're facing a problem. When you're facing a dilemma, when you're facing a situation, the first place you ought to go is on the inside. What I mean by going on the inside? You go and talk to God. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit to get involved with your thoughts. Because once you meditate and once you get on the inside, God and the Holy Spirit will lead you where you need to go. God will lead you to where you go. See, when you go on the outside first, you done complicated things. Because when you're on the outside, you're involved with two kingdoms. What two kingdoms? The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of you. Now you done complicated things. So instead of you getting one answer, now you got to undo. Now you got to undo what the kingdom of you and the kingdom of Satan has done. When if you done went initially on the inside first, and if God leads you to the outside. I'm going to give you an example. 1 Kings 17, let me get there real quick. I'm almost finished. 1 Kings. See, it's mandatory that you be able to access the kingdom of God. You can't access the kingdom of God without meditation. We praying for hours on hours, but if you don't be quiet for a moment and let God talk to you. Let the Holy Spirit reveal some things to you. Let the Holy Spirit say some things to you. Sometimes we pray past our answers. God's sitting there waiting to tell you the answer, but you finish praying, and once you finish, you get up and go about your business. 1 Kings 17. Look at verse 8. I hate it when preachers take this scripture and abuse this scripture. I hate it. I hate it because they abuse it all the time, especially when they're trying to receive money. Oh, it burns me. That burns me because it just ain't right. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he had called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, wait a minute. She had instructions. She had instructions. See, I'm trying to show you the importance of the fivefold in our lives. See, she had instructions. How do we know she had instructions? Because he told Elijah, the Lord our God, he's not a man that he should lie if he said it.
Yeah.
Right? So he said, I've already told this woman to sustain you. She had instructions, right? But she didn't have direction.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. Come on.
Let that sink in. She had instructions. See, this is what I get with people in ministry. God may give you instructions, but if you don't have no direction, that's why God connects you with somebody who's going in the right direction. So you can have instructions, but if you don't have the directions, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You got instructions, thank you, Holy Spirit, but no direction. This is what you're going to do. As the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake. Now she got instructions, but she don't have the directions. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's what happens when you have instructions with no direction.
Thank you.
If you have instructions with no directions, sometimes the instructions don't make sense. Until you get connected to directions. Watch what direction does. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent it rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Hallelujah.
Do you see when you have direction and instructions working together?
Yeah.
See, so don't just come to church and look for instruction, look for direction.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
We saw two examples. Clearly, we saw two examples. Joshua.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Had direction.
Yes.
And from meditating those directions, God gave him instructions.
Yeah.
And we see the other half. Well, somebody had instructions, but no direction. So no matter which way you shake it, you got to have directions and you have to have instructions. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. When you meditate, the Holy Spirit will lead you to where you can get directions, to where your instructions will make sense.
Yes.
If you don't have no instructions, he'll lead you to directions so you can find instructions.
Yes, sir.
See, in this day and age, you're going to have to be able to access the kingdom of God that is already within you so that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Tribulation, trouble, the economy, people going crazy, your crazy family members. Maybe you got a son or daughter ain't acting right. You can't let them have you tripping. You must allow the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to give you access to the kingdom of God. When you have access to the kingdom of God, you have access to authority and to power. When you have access to the kingdom of God's authority and power, everything can change.
Amen.